Good morning. I enjoy holidays for a reason. Mainly is that we have so many of our family come back home and friends that are here. People we don't get to see all the time are back with us. As we miss those that have gone somewhere to see their relatives and the things that go on that way. But it's always a joy to have those that we don't see all the time back here. And so I'm glad to see you, for sure, on the brisk days that we are having and the things that go that way. I find it good that we're not all sick, and so that's a good thing, and that we can still meet. This morning, I want to talk to you a bit about true worship, as we read in our scripture reading. And so let's read that one more time. It says that the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming. He is called the Christ. And when that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Now, you know, there's not many times that Jesus does that he actually openly states who he is. You, or meaning the Jews, were supposed to know who he was by the prophecies that he is fulfilling, by the things that he is doing, by the miracles, by the teachings, by the all that goes on that way. And too often, they don't get it. But as we speak of worship, you know, we all assume that everyone knows what worship is, and what it takes to worship acceptably before God. And I really want to say that there are many who don't know how to worship. There are many who think they know how to worship that don't, and that the parameters that have been made up for quote worship have changed, that many add how they feel to being a part of worship. Many add greater acts of devotion to worship. They want to do something greater than what has been commanded. Many offer grandiose wording or devout tones or even use another form of speech to show that I care very much about God. Many take what they do in worship service as worship when it may not be true worship. And so it is for that reason that I am concerned, because it's really not about everyone else's worship. It is about my worship. Every one of you individually is here, and we are collective in the fact that each of us individually is worshiping God, and you're doing what you find to be correct. And yet, okay, you're connected to the rest of us as we sing together, as we pray together, as we do those things. And so I offer my amen to a prayer, or I will change it to what I think it should be. There have been many times when someone says something that I felt was inaccurate, and I changed that prayer in my mind to what I thought it was accurate. I am involved in the service that is going on. I will sing songs of praise to the Lord, and I will change words or abstain from singing thoughts I don't agree with if they're there. I become involved in worship services as God requires, either by helping to direct a portion of the service or by mentally accepting what is done before me. And we all understand this. But I'm concerned for men who believe that their duties to God revolve around public worship, when that is not the worship that we're really talking about. Public worship matters because we've been commanded. But it is by no means all of our worship, or even close to all of our worship. And so, as we look to God's Word, He has given us what we call the acts of worship. And so we sing, pray, hear and contemplate God's Word, give of ourselves in worship itself, and of our means for our belief in furthering God's ways. We are remembering Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. We do all the things that we should do, because God said so. And with these things fulfilled, we are satisfied with my worship. So, I want us to consider the idea. Worship, by definition, is to make obeisance or do reverence to. It is used as an act of homage or reverence to more than one thing. God, of course, because He is the author and director of those things, but also to Christ, to a man. Should that be? Do people worship men? As I say, oh baby, so yes they do. There can be worship to the dragon, to the beast, to the image of the beast. I missed the idol, highlighting and idols. And so all of these are can be worshiped. And so do I worship those, and what I worship is very, very important to me. So the idea then is that we're going to offer reverence as a general idea of what worship is. But then I ask you the question, how is reverence shown? Now, I don't really mean this again as our collective self, because I think that collectively we're doing what we need to be doing in the proper way and those types of things, and that is directed and agreed upon by the group. I'm talking about my individual worship and the types of things I'm doing. How do you show your reverence? And so I went to Revelation 4 because it's a throne scene. And so I want to read this. And when the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to Him who sits on the throne, to Him who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders will fall down before Him who sits on the throne and will worship Him who lives forever and ever, and will cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and because of Your will they existed and were created." Now I think this gives us a pretty good scene that in heaven itself, where God is giving a description and a vision that we can understand, we have this sense of things. And so our sense of reverence then, how should reverence be shown? Some feel the need that we need to dress well, that we might change our clothing, and that we might come in a particular kind of clothing. And there are those that do that in many different ways, or segment different parts of the congregation and do different things that way for the sense of being more reverent, if it will be. We have that kind of sense, and yet God has never declared that. Some change their conduct and even their intonations when speaking of God or about God. They actually change their voices into a different tone. Some want to increase the personal sacrifice as emphasis of true worship. That I give more and I give sacrificially, which we are told to do. And that by doing that, I worship. Many want to shout or applaud or become overcome publicly by their devotion to God. They want to show some emotional standpoint of their worship, that I truly believe what it is, and they do that. And there are many things and ways offered by men, but God has distinguished what He wanted us to do. So worship then is an act of homage and or reverence, and it is a deed done. I want us to see that. It is not some strange thing. It is not some made up thing. it is a deed done that has been asked for. If we want to be approved by God, then we would offer a deed or deeds that God has approved of, both personally, collectively, and our collective must agree on the deeds that are done. And so we would do that, and that is worship. And that God might be considered his angriest when worship is incorrect. Now, Renee and I have discussed this on a number of occasions. And so when God is forgotten altogether in the days of Noah, and men did evil continually, he destroys all men but eight. Does God intend for us to be the people that we intend, that he wants us to be? Yes. Nadab and Abihu, who are the priests of God, and they are to know the right things to do, and that because they have been given this responsibility, and that they are the sons of Aaron of all people, that they should be the kind of men that care very much about what God has said and about how you do it, and that they would pay attention to the details, and they would do whatever they would do. But instead of doing that, what they did was not according to the pattern. They take fire from a different place, and I am sure that they had some very real good reason on why taking fire from a different place wouldn't make any difference, because fire is fire. Except that's not what God said. And by the time they did that, then they were destroyed by fire. And I ask you, do you think that that is a minor offense? Because in a certain way, it sounds like it could be. I mean, if you think about those days, all lighting was by fire. Warmth was given by fire. Fire was around everywhere. It was readily in the room. And so consequently, to take it from this place or that place sounds like it's nothing, and yet it was very much something. And why? Because God has spoken. I might look at stoning in the Old Testament. It was for murder. Stoning would occur for murder, rape, false worship, Sabbath breaking, disobedience to parents, witchcraft, and idolatry. And that any of those being practiced could cause you to be stoned to death. Then I look at Uzzah, and Uzzah, who steadies the Ark of the Covenant, has a good intention in mind when he's doing what he does, but is not of the tribe of Levi, and therefore he breaks the law of God, and he is killed for that. And it says in 2 Samuel, I think it is, 1 Samuel, where am I? I'll just turn my page, okay. In 2 Samuel 6 and 7, that it was for irreverence. That what I say means something, and that what I say will be revered as my word, and if you do not treat it that way, then there is a price to pay, and in that day, it was his very life. So now, worship is not then about what moves you or touches you. It is not about the good feeling that I'm supposed to get. Okay? We are not the object of worship. God is. It is for his pleasure that we worship. You are not to be moved by your love for God, or you are to be moved by your love to God, to give the worthy are you to him. From your heart, in the acts that you perform, and in the things that he has approved of, and shall I say, exactly as he said it. Now if you understand that, and you already do, and I know that you do, but I want you to also understand how many times does your mind wander while you are in worship. Does that scare you? That I'm not focused on the song that I'm singing? or that I'm not focused on the Lord's table as I should be in remembering of the sacrifice that's been made, that I'm not reapplying it again today as I should. Am I doing any of that? Do I ever waver in my worship? And I confess, I certainly have many times in my life wavered in my worship because of my own focus. And so when it says that we are to prepare our minds for worship, what does that actually mean? And I want us to recognize that when I come to worship, I come with a point in mind, okay, that I want to say, worthy are you from Daryl Yance. It is not, I can't monitor whether your worship is right or wrong, but I can measure mine. And I am here to declare God to be God, His Word to be so, and that I agree with all things, not that He needs me to agree, but simply because I do, because I love Him. Okay, so, when we come to that, and then we go to the throne scene, do you see what I'm talking about? When they're saying, worthy are you, and it is not a complicated thing that's going on here. This is people and beings of great power bowing themselves before God to say, worthy are you, because you are the one who thought it all up, who has created, who has made it all happen, and makes it all happen, and continues to make it all happen, and we find you so worthy. You are worthy. Not because I say so, because you belong as the one and the only one that is worthy. That sounds like worship, doesn't it? Sounds like worship to me. And so they give that honor and glory to Him. For His eternal nature, they humble themselves. And saying, worthy are you. For His creation and for our existence, worthy are you. So an act of worship is to declare God to be worthy. That's the point. And we have acts of worship to do this. But if we go on down a little bit, in Revelation 5, and when He had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, if for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. And so not only is it God the Father, that Jesus is worthy, you see. And so, whether we are worshiping together or individually, worthy are you is my declaration of my belief in, follower of, God. And so that when I say that about Jesus Christ as I say that about God the Father. Because without Him, I would not have my relationship. So, this sense of worthy is the Lamb, you see, yes. That I may worship in a worship service, or I may be driving in my car and I say, thank you, Lord. Just something as simple as that. Worthy are you, because I recognize that what I've just seen, what I've just experienced is from you, is the gift of God, is the thing that I need, that I recognize and declare always. It's not for here or here only. An act of worship then, you see, is my thank you, or as the song we sang, how great thou art. Isn't it so? How great thou art. It is an act. So, when I think about this, worship then is not about me. It is something I do, but it is not about me. Worship has nothing to do with styles of worship. There is no such thing as traditional or contemporary worship. There is simply worship given to us and as what is acceptable by God. There are preachers who teach that what God actually teach what he says, and there are those who do not. And we need to recognize the difference between that and understand that those who don't teach what God said are not of God. They are something else. They are preachers, but they are not the preachers of God, because the preachers of God preach what God says. There is a church leadership that is not authorized by God or do not follow what, because they don't follow what God says. There are those that do. And so consequently, we need to recognize that even in the actions of those that are working on a regular basis, we should be measuring whether or not those acts are what God would say or have done, that our worship may be what it should be. That we would not be led by those who do not worship God, do not follow God. We are going to worship or follow those that do. Worship is not about what moves or touches you. It is not the object of worship. God is the object of worship. You are to be moved by your love to give the worthy are you to him. And so this is about offering your acquiescence to him. See, that I bow my knee before God. Now, the question, can you improve worship? And if we're doing what God actually asked us to do, there is nothing to improve, is there? There is only the act of doing it. In Hebrews 13, it says this: through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name, and do not neglect doing good and sharing, for such sacrifices God is pleased. That's what we do. By my initial core value of believing that God is, and that he is worthy, that all these things will happen as well. And so, the concepts aren't restricted to specific acts in that sense. I can go about and do the good deeds that God approves of in the manner and have my own twist on them, if you will. I can do a good deed that fits within the realm of God's word, and that through those things, I didn't improve worship, I just continued in it. I lived it. Being a worshiper is to never stop. There are words such as piety, service, devotion, of which we also call worship sometimes, but these concepts are not restrained to those specific acts, and that's where these other acts come from. And our lives then should be summed up in that he or she is a worshiper of God. It is not that I do things. It is that I do those things and am recognized why I do those things is because a love for God. Now then, what I'm afraid of. I've done the acts of worship many, many times in my life. That they become habit. Are they still valid? Is my heart still where it should be? Am I still saying, worthy are you, God, or am I going through some motion of it? Maintaining the fire and thankfulness of worthy are you is an everyday occurrence. If you help someone in need who needs their groceries carried out, or you give them a drink of cold water, I am not worshiping. I'm living the life of a worshiper. It is a good deed that comes from the basis of my worship, but it is not worship itself. It is the understanding that I'm a worshiper of God every day, in every place, and in every moment. Being a worshiper of God changes everything I do. Doesn't it? Now I would really like to say that I'm that good. I'm not. Between focus and between so many things, distraction, all the things that go on, if I declare myself as a worshiper of God, what does it do to me if I'm not consistent? And so you see, that's the next point, is that I need to be consistently about praising God, about giving God glory. I need to be that, have that as part of my day. And so, I'm not asking what other men will think or what God will do if you do not act consistently in being a worshiper. I'm asking, what does it do to you if you're not consistent? Now, I really mean this. What does it do to you if you're not consistent in worship? Daily worship. Daily thinking. That sort of thing. I'm reminded of this passage. What do you do when you declare yourself to be a worshiper, but you won't declare His name? So is there a time when I won't speak because of circumstance, or will I speak about God anytime? How far must you go to prove that you are a worshiper of God? Must you deny yourself, face your fears? Do you need to humiliate yourself? In other words, I'm going to come up here and I don't feel adequate in what I'm doing up here. I don't belong up here. I'm brand new and I don't know how to say things. And so I won't try because what? Do you understand? If I'm going to have faith, my faith will push me to try all that God would have me be. And that there are some of us that aren't given to some things. And I understand that. I do. But do you see, will you ever do what you've never done? Will you ever teach the class? Will you ever go to someone that is in trouble yourself? Or do you always want someone else that is better at it to do it? And I tell you, the only way that we get there is by the doing of ourselves. And that it is what worshipers do, that we do those things, and it is not simply for the fact that I worship God. It is for the fact that I need to know that I am His. It is for myself. My worship is to declare that God is worthy for the approval of myself. Because if my heart condemns me, I'm condemned. In a certain way, the Christmas season is a season that I rejoice in because so many people actually recognize Jesus. And then I cry because tomorrow it may not be the same. You understand? But it doesn't matter what I think. I mean, it really doesn't matter what I think. It matters what each person thinks of themselves before God. And so if I was going to say something that would help us, it would be something like this. How often do you worship? And I hope that it is every day. And that you have some habits that are about that very thing. But I don't want it to all be about that. I want it to be about the fact that it's not that I created the right habits at the right time back when, but that my heart still seeks God, His word and His knowledge and what He means for me, where I am right now and where I will be tomorrow. that he is worthy even now in everything that he has ever done. So, one of the things we have to always remember, that God has made it clear for those who will not worship in spirit and truth, they will be lost. And so, we have much to do. We have things, if there is a change that needs to be made, if you're a believer in your heart, but you have not put on Christ, then put on Christ. If you're one that needs to put away something, that a habit that you've had that you need to get rid of, then put it away. And declare him. Worship. Worship him daily. As always, we offer a time that if we can help anyone that is struggling, if you're struggling with your own thoughts and whatever, we have those that will sit with you and discuss with you issues. If you need help in a physical kind, we've got people that will help you. If your spiritual needs are such that you need to be baptized, all things are ready. All it takes is for you to worship. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand and sing?